Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, you industrial professional from all around the world, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. You know I'm your cheerleader. I just love the industrial world, and I really appreciate what you guys do out there. So thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. I need for you to just reach around your side, grab that buckle, and buckle in because we've got a tremendous show. We're interviewing a gentleman by the name of Luke Wyckoff, and he is the CVO, the Chief Visionary Officer with the Social Media Energy out of Denver. Boy, does he bring the energy. It's an exciting time. Great interview. He brings tangible stuff. So let's get going. Yeah, thank you very much for joining the podcast. I really enjoy this. I enjoy being with you guys and all that fun stuff. And I'm just you have no idea how excited I am to bring you this Luke Wyckoff interview because he does bring the energy, man. It's a lot of fun, and he knows his stuff big time. And if you're out there on my YouTube channel, and you'll notice that I've got a bowl of my macros. That's the perfect blend of protein, carbs, and fats. And my son is training me for an event in the end of September. It's an old man event, and it's a physique contest. Anyway, I've lost 10 pounds eating this way. It's not exciting, but it works. And so, anyway, I'm going to be posting some stuff of how my son abuses me at the gym and makes me eat this stuff. Now, once again, I'm going to refer to Luke. But before we get going, we're going to have to start out with our tailgate talk because we want to start off safe.
Tailgate talk number one.
Okay. The first thing, I'm always reading. And here's a book that I'm reading right now, and it's called Blue Ocean Shift. And it's been great. Blue Ocean Shift talks about taking your existing business model and looking for opportunities that are really outside. I highly recommend it because I think you need to know a little bit about that. Great strategy. And that was referred to me by the gentleman of John Grubbs. He's been on the podcast a couple of times. He knows his stuff. Excellent read. I highly recommend that you read it.
Number two.
You know, I'm passionate about you, the industry professional, you, the industry owner, business owner, and everything is focused to making you a success, filling that funnel, because that's important stuff. And a couple of things that we are transitioning into, I'm using a platform called Teachable.com. Now, this is relatively new, and I've been publishing a series called Business Beatitudes, Beautiful Attitudes for Business Leaders, and it takes into 7, maybe 8 points of what that looks like. And I'm always intrigued by purpose, but that purpose that is driven by the heart. So that those articles will be also out there. I publish on LinkedIn as well as Facebook. You can find me out there. And then working with a gentleman by the name of Keith McCaslin, and he's got an extensive background in private equity. And we're going to go and we're going to create a program called the Foundation for Business Success. He knows his stuff because in the private equity world, that's what they do. They look for businesses, they turn them around, and you get the picture. So Keith McCaslin and I are going to be working on that. That'll also be out there on Teachable.com. And the final thing is I'm working with a gentleman by the name of Jim Witt, and I view him as a mentor, and he's the one that really got me focused on purpose and why that is so important in the business. And in fact, if you're looking out on the YouTube channel, the video, that's his book behind there. And he is going to work with us on, hopefully, I'm working on it, so don't tell him that I'm doing this. No. Anyway, I had a good conversation with him yesterday, and we're going to try to put together a program that really identifies and drives that purpose on home. So I'm pretty excited, and it's all going to be put out there on Teachable.com. And so, nonetheless, we've got one more.
Number three.
Okay, you know that I'm affiliated. Got a great relationship with these people. Reliability Web, and they have a podcast called Reliability Radio. And for me, I'm very honored to be able to be on that. I am the host of Reliability Radio, and I want to make sure that you keep current with all the activities that Reliability Web does. And one is July 17th through the 19th. This is in New Orleans, Louisiana, right around the corner from where I live right now. And this is the Vibration Institute. This is a symposium. It's focusing on vibration analysis. And I'm going to be there. And I know places that happen and are in New Orleans. And you got to come up and talk to me so that we can have fun and learn a lot about vibration analysis and have fun. So that's one. And then the second one is Maximo World. This is August 7th through the 9th. And this is at Lake Buena Vista. And this is in Florida, of course, and it is at the Dolphin. And if you're an asset manager, reliability, maintenance professional, and you guys use Maximo World or considering to use Maximo World, boom, that is the event you need to go to. So there you go. That's it. End of the tailgate. Let's get on to the interview. So as I pull up information, so here's this guy, Luke Wyckoff. His background is extensive in the digital marketing realm. And so I look at it as an iceberg, right? Because that's the only analogy that I can come up with. And I use that analogy because here in the industrial world, we can be better at our digital presence. We are leaving money on the table, from my perspective, and we're not executing on strategies that, quite frankly, are pennies on the dollars that could prove to be quite profitable. Because we just sort of look at, okay, here's LinkedIn, we'll post this, and you know, this is something, and we'll post it on Facebook, and then we leave it at that. But I'm telling you, if you look at a iceberg, that's just the tip. There is so much that lies below that iceberg, strategy-wise, digital-wise, marketing-wise, and this guy, Luke, they're buddies, by the way, that Luke brings to the table. And in this interview, he's tangible, baby. He gives you concrete strategies to deploy today. And, of course, you could contact him any time of the day, right? He's out there. He's prolific. He's got a great company. He's out of Denver. So, with that, I'm done. Let's get on with Luke. Thank you very much. Enjoy the interview with Luke Wyckoff. All right, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. I'm so glad that you are joining us. I've got a gentleman by the name of Luke Wyckoff. He's on the horn, and he is spending time with you listeners out there in the industrial world. Hey, Luke, thank you very much for joining. How are you doing?
Glad to be here. Had a great 4th of July. Hope you did, too.
It was a lot of fun. What we did was barbecue and swam. That's pretty much it.
And that's it. Nothing else.
Yeah. And so anyway, how was your fourth?
Fourth was great here in Denver, Colorado. Interesting. I live in a large loft complex downtown, and I live up just high enough that you could see over the entire Front Range looking west, and you could probably see, you know, 25 to 30 different fireworks shows all going off at the same time from as far south as Colorado Springs to as far north as Boulder, just looking west. And it's an absolutely amazing picture.
Now, the fireworks are illegal in Colorado, right?
They're not illegal. The people had to get an actual permit in order to have them. They also shoot them off over Mile High Stadium. They shoot them off over Coors Field. They're playing the Giants right now. And then they do a big one right downtown Denver also. What they do, though, is the fire chief always has the last call on whether we have a emergency forest fire type of situation where, man, it's not so safe. So a lot of the western slope, if you go west of Denver, it's either go, no go within 48 hours of the actual fireworks show, depending on whether we have a forest fire alert. Well, but it's always beautiful in the Mile High City to see the 4th of July. A lot of patriotic people, especially with the United States Air Force, you know, just 45 minutes south.
Yeah, you're right about that. That's right.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
That adds to it.
A couple big F-16 fighter jets flying over last night, you know, to launch the Rockies and the Giants, and real patriotic. It's just beautiful.
Nice. Now, the reason why we're talking, Luke, does anybody give you a hard time about Luke when Star Wars came out?
I never hear that.
What?
Nah, get out of here. That's not true.
I, I give it 5 minutes before either one of you say that you're my father.
See, I was going down that, and I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it.
I was thinking about it.
No, it was going to happen. So anyway, one of the things that what's really impressed with you about is how you've gone all in on like digital marketing. You have a company, and one of the things about the industrial world space, whatever we live in, right? I think that in general, we're behind the eight ball when it comes to digital marketing, leveraging the tools and techniques out there, because there's a strategy. And I think what we do and we don't do well is adapt, because we're risk adverse and we don't like change and we don't feel comfortable with that. But give us your background, Luke, of who you are, why you're fantastic, and your company in a nutshell.
Well, if you want to know who I am and why I'm fantastic, we'd probably need to get my mother on the phone. She'd be the one who would give you that much better story. My company started as a mistake. So believe it or not, my background is industrial and organizational psychology. So if you're in an industrial setting and you're trying to figure out who's the best of the best inside of that company to promote into senior executives, that's the world I came from for 15 years, long before I started my digital marketing world. But it wasn't until I was in presenting to a group of companies, talking to them about succession management, when all of a sudden one of the CEOs says to me, they say, "You started your whole company using LinkedIn and Facebook, didn't you?" And I said, "Yes." And they said, "What is that stuff?" I said, "You want to know about social media?" And everyone in the hand, there's 13 CEOs representing about $1.6 billion in revenue in that room. And I said, everyone shook their head yes. And I said, okay. So I got up on the whiteboard and I whiteboarded out a three-month strategy for all these companies. And I get done and the CEO over the system says, "Well, why don't you just do that for us?" And I said, "Do what?" And he said, "All that stuff you just said you could do." And I said, "I didn't say I could do it. I said, this is what you should be doing." And he said, "Yeah, we don't have anybody that knows how to do that for us. Would you just do it?" I said, "You want to outsource your social media to me like you outsource accounting?" He said, "Yep, let's do it." And I said, "Let me think about that." So I went and got my old study buddies together from grad school, because they're actually huge single malt scotch fans. So I knew I could like bring them in. And we pro forma out the entire company. We finish it up. I take it back in. They said, "Yep." And that was the launch of Social Media Energy, which started 9.5 years ago. And since then, we've been voted top 5 fastest growing private companies twice in Colorado. We're up to 22 employees. We're in 5 states. We're in every vertical industry that you could possibly think of. We do have quite a few success stories and horror stories within the industrial space.
Yeah,
that I'm happy to share any of those stories with you today.
Well, of course, we want the horror stories, because that's important to us. But
that's more fun.
Yeah, it is. It makes for a more colorful conversation. Let me ask you this real quick. Yeah, that gentleman, that story where you're saying, "Hey, you do it for us." What was the sort of a general result of you just saying, "Okay, I'll step in and we'll just implement this 3-month whatever strategy"? What happened?
Well, for any of the entrepreneurs that you have that listen to this podcast, this is normally where I stop the story. But for the entrepreneurs, the next part of that story was me walking out in the parking lot and going, "What the hell just happened?"
Yeah.
Where I thought, I don't have a phone number. I don't have an email address. I don't have a website. I don't have a logo. I don't have business cards. Think about everything it takes that you think you need in order to actually start a company.
Yeah, you got
to
prop it up, get it going.
The traditional way of thinking about starting a company, you're like, "I need this. I have to have that. I couldn't launch a company without this." I'm telling every entrepreneur who listens to this show that yes, you can. What it takes is tenacity and resilience and a lot of energy to go out and make it happen. It doesn't matter how great your website is or your other types of things in order to launch and get going. What you need is the most important thing, which is a paid client.
So, Reed, are you going to pay me eventually?
I mean, maybe like in whiskey or something. I mean, you prefer that, right?
I do.
I can't believe that Reed's now earning $500 per show. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's something. It's a little upwards of that actually. Now we did a little contract deal.
My gosh, I better check on that. You're absolutely right. From an entrepreneurial point of view, I think that the worst decision you can make is. I quit, in a sense, because that's sort of that permanent decision to maybe a temporary problem. And there are no books out there that say, and when I became an entrepreneur, it was just smooth sailing, and I was just happy and we were dancing around. And
it was so easy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's tenacity. It's grit. It's that stuff that comes from the gut.
It's energy. I tell every entrepreneur, if you can't live your first year without a paycheck, I'd seriously consider not becoming an entrepreneur.
Very good.
Yep.
Wise counsel, most definitely. Now,
without margin, there is no mission. That's what it says in my bathroom every day. Without margin, there is no mission. Entrepreneur out there, you need revenue. It's the number one thing that you need. And that should be your focus going into it.
Well, Luke, let me ask you a question, too. So I'm a little younger, so I don't know if this would really apply to me, but I think this could apply to, like, kind of the older crowd. So you've been doing social media energy for 9.5 years, you said?
That is correct. 9.5 years.
Okay, so you were around 39 when this started, correct?
Yes, correct. So, which already made me a dinosaur.
Right, well, that's kind of where my question's going. So, I mean, I'm 23. So, but I feel like, you know, in my own opinion, and correct me if I'm wrong, because again, I'm young, around that age is when most people are kind of set in stone with like what they're doing. You know, they're like, okay, I've been sitting at a desk for, you know, I guess 17 years now. So like, what gave you the push to be like, you know what, I'm going to take this new path. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do this social media energy thing.
It was, what gave me that push was I've always had, one of the behavioral competencies that is very easy to measure. And in fact, one of my better industrial clients that make office furniture, in fact, many people listening to this podcast might be sitting on steel case furniture today.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm not, but yeah, I know.
One of their areas that they love to assess people in is your ability to learn. So, the people that are not set in their ways, people that are never happy with just knowing what they know, they have this constant desire to want to know more. There's ways to assess for that when you are looking to hire people to come into your company. And that's something that I've always scored very high on is it's not that I'm dissatisfied with what I'm doing now, is that I always have a desire to want to learn more. And it wasn't until this opportunity came across my plate and I looked and I ran the numbers and said, this is a viable business. I have the energy and the effort. I have the tenacity and the resilience to pull this off. Now I'm going to continue to go with this and see where it goes, see how far I can take it. And what happens with most people and why not all entrepreneurs are successful is that they go for the money right off the bat and see what is available financially for them. And they don't think longer term as to what could be, you know, what could be viable over the next, you know, 3 to 5 years. They're only thinking about, you know, where can I exit quickly, have my payoff day, and then get on my boat in Cabo.
Right.
So to answer your question, it really comes down to when you see an opportunity, you know, you're either going to go, oh, that was a good opportunity. I should have done something with that. Or you're going to run with it. You're going to make it happen. And if you're confident in yourself that you have the ability to do that, then as an entrepreneur, by all means, go for it.
You know, what's interesting, I taught at a couple of universities, business, whatever. And one of the things that it's probably not as sophisticated as what you're used to and the tests that you went through, but I would always tell the class, I said, if you have this thing inside of you, that burning desire to do more, greater, whatever it is, and you, like you said, you had this desire to learn more, that will always be with you until that moment in time where you truly try to execute upon it and say, I want to be an entrepreneur because I am just restless in this, quote, environment that I'm currently in. I'm young. I got this, you know, I'm smart. I think I can do it. I got grit. And it's always, that conversation always happens because there's young people that say, I just want to find a company and, you know, get my whatever it is. But then there's always those ones that are saying, I can't do that.
I've seen people that are the 23-year-olds that have amazing tenacity to get out there and make it happen. But I'm guessing a lot of people that could be listening to this podcast might be just a little bit north of 40. And if they are, you need to know. I've seen some of the coolest ideas and companies launch in Colorado with people that are in their early 50s, mid-50s, mid-60s, right. that they have a vision. They're right. Very smart at what they do, and they're bringing decades of wonderful red flags and experience to the table, and they're ready to launch. They're ready to launch something. The only thing I say to the entrepreneurs out there, whether it's an industrial product or whether it's a technology or something like else, do you have a viable product? Do you have customers that want to buy that viable product? Because a lot of people have great ideas. And until I ask that, what's one of the questions we ask when we do a kickoff meeting for social media energy with another company? I said, talk to me about how do you know people even want your service? They want to buy your product. What is your viable story? What is it that let you know that it's not just your great idea, but tens of thousands of people will think it's a great idea.
So that's a great point.
I like that,
Let's shift gears a little bit and start to expand upon that particular, topic. Now,
wherever you'd like to go, yours.
No. This is great. This is good. Good segue. So in the industrial world, we've got really, you know, big companies, the Chevrons, the big companies. And then those companies are supported by small to mid-sized companies because whatever Chevron, you get the model, you get the spoke wheel, whatever concept. The product, right? Why is it important for these companies to truly contemplate a digital strategy for their marketing, for their branding, for their expansion, for filling that funnel of opportunity? Because what happens in the past is that, just sort of like how you got started, somebody came to that guy and said, hey, dig that ditch. Okay, I'll dig that ditch. Man, you do a good job digging that ditch. Can you run a forklift? I can run a forklift, sure. Boom, and they run a forklift, and then all of a sudden, that's the genesis of their industrial business. But it stays in that sort of realm. I want to hear from you about how do you leverage the digital marketing in this environment to expand, brand, market, all of that good stuff.
It's a great question. And
thank you very much. I like great questions.
It's a great question.
Well, thank you very much, Reed. It's a good question.
I'm just reinforcing that ego, that after holiday ego that always needs a little push.
Please don't reinforce it. De-enforce it. I don't know if it's a word, but
and the industrial world is a little bit, I would say, behind. Where some of other industries probably are today. And that would be, and I could say that with confidence, just looking at our client list and clients that we've worked with all over the world. And you brought up Chevron and some of the oil and gas companies as an example. I'm originally from Michigan. So when I think industrial, I'm thinking Detroit, right? I'm thinking General Motors, Ford. I'm thinking of all the tier one, tier two, tier three suppliers in that industrial world that help support those types of folks. What's interesting is that, and this is not atypical of the people in the industrial world. So all of your listeners who are in industrial, I know so many folks in the industrial world where the founder and the CEO happens to be an engineer. They are the smartest kid in the room. Okay. but in their world, they don't think like marketing people. They think, how do I make a product better? And they think about how can I service my client and be able to do that, which is great. Social media and the world of digital media is more about what I call humanizing your brand. So if anyone who might got, you have a lot of engineers might be that listen to this show.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
That means they're note takers. So your first note that you're taking today is humanize your brand.
I just did.
There you go. The way you do that in a the way. Oh, look at that! You're so old. You use a pencil.
Pen. It's a pen.
Oh, that is a pen. Okay. Yeah,
he uses a feather usually.
Exactly. A quill.
Yeah. I forgot. Are you on a PC there? Or do you guys use a Mac?
I use a Commodore 64. Commodore 64.
The typewriter.
Commodore 64. Oh, excellent. All right. Oh, is there at least one Mac user in the room?
I actually don't use Mac, and I'm a millennial.
I have an iPad.
Okay, so at least one of you is going to heaven. Okay.
What?
So listen. So in that industrial world, we've got people that look at, you want to look at the bigger picture, and I always ask, what is it you want to do with your digital strategy a year from today? If you were to look back and go, that was a great digital marketing, that was great digital strategy for our company. And some industrial companies can really answer that question, and others go, I don't even know what's available. So start me at 101. Luke, who is a Jedi, says, how can I help you with this?
That's right.
Exactly.
Use the Force.
So, what I do is I start to look at their branding. I look at what they've been trying to say, and I remind them that humanizing your brand does not mean just continually talking about yourself within your social media. So people say, let's start off with a 60,000 foot view. Why even have a Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, Google+, YouTube? Why even have those for a company if all you're doing is supplying a widget to a bigger company?
Okay, I'm going to interrupt now. We're going to take a break because I want to be able to really expand upon it, give you a lot of time on that, because that is exactly where we need to go. We're listening to Luke Wyckoff. And we're really pleased that he is here, that he's taking time out of his busy schedule. So stay tuned, and we're going to find out a lot more about why it's important for industrial companies to humanize their brand. So stay tuned.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right, get your calendars. Okay, I'll wait. Just go get them. All right, we've got a couple of events that you need to take note of. This is sponsored by those wonderful people at Reliability Web. They're the ones that are passionate about reliability, asset management, of course, maintenance. They do it all. Go out to their website at reliabilityweb.com. Now, July 17th through the 19th. That's July 17th through the 19th. This is in New Orleans, Louisiana, right around the corner from where I'm at. This is the Vibration Institute. This is the Asset Conditioning Management Training Symposium. You got to be there because I'm going to be there, and I want you to be there so that we can talk. The next one is Maximo World. That is August 7th through the 9th. This is in Florida, Lake Buena Vista. Now, anybody who's interested in Maximo will be there. So you need to be there. I will be there. Of course I'll be there because I want to be there. So please put those two things down. And if you have an event that you want to try to go to, get out there on reliabilityweb.com. Go to events. I guarantee you there's something there for you. So thank you very much. I will see you at those events. If I don't, I'm going to be upset. So have a great day. Be safe as well. All right. Welcome back to the Industrial Talk Podcast. We're with Luke Wyckoff. He is an amazing man. He is spending time with us, the listeners, at the Industrial Talk Podcast. And we are talking about humanizing your brand because we don't do it. Here in the industrial world, I think we have a lot to learn when it comes to digital marketing. And Luke is here to share, well, his knowledge, of course, and then you guys got to execute upon it. So, Luke, let's go into that. We left talking a little bit about why have maybe, let's say, a LinkedIn, a Facebook, whatever the platforms might be for a company in the, quote, industrial world.
You know, I remember it kind of takes me back to the very beginning days of social media, where I was speaking with someone, and we'll just say the big three in Detroit. And we were talking about using social media at that point in time for recruiting people. you know, finding people to come and work for your industrial company. And this person who was vice president of human resources within this industrial space said, blue collar people aren't on Facebook. They don't use that type of technology.
No way.
And I turned around and ran a report for them and said, well, it's interesting that you think that, because I will prove you wrong over time. And yeah. sure enough, 3 or 4 years later, when they did their own report, over 94% of their entire workforce were on Facebook. And they just never saw that coming. By the way, that vice president of human resources is no longer there.
Does he work for your company, Social Media Energy?
No. Well, we'll hire people that are smart. And that was not a smart moment.
No. When you said that, I was like, wait, does Luke believe this? Because we need to just delete this podcast.
Well, when I was talking to them and I was saying, you need to be on all the different platforms, and they're like, why? Why should I be on YouTube over Twitter? Why should I be on Facebook over LinkedIn? And I said, because the people that would follow your company or follow your brand, people who are customers, people who would even care about you, they're not usually set into just one thing. You're going to have people just like that. Just, you know, I love to just drive Ford Mustangs. I like to just drive Audi A4s. There are people who are just love to use Twitter. That's their mean. There's some people who just prefer Facebook. There are folks who are like, I hate both of them. I only use LinkedIn. Well, that's great. The great thing about social media is you can be in all of those places for the same cost, because social media is free. One of my favorite four-letter F words. So it's you want to be in each of these places, because you can be. The only effort it takes is when you put the content out into each of those spaces. The rules are a little different for how much content you can put on Twitter compared to how much you can put on Facebook or LinkedIn and other places. So there's two reasons why I say any industrial company should be in those spaces. Number one is that you want to be where your fans are, whether they are fans, customers, future clients, future employees. You want to be where they are. And number two, it helps your search engine optimizations, which is a very interesting term that people talk about. And I like to simplify SEO when I talk to people and say, what would a third grader type into Google in order to find your company, your products, your services, and your industrial world? What does a third grader type into Google? And those keywords that they typed into Google, they better be spread throughout your website and throughout the verbiage on your social media, so that the average person can find you digitally. And those are the two reasons why you want to be in multiple areas. Hey, do you remember when your grandfather used to say the squeaky wheel
gets the grease?
So you need to squeak in multiple places in order to get noticed in that digital world. So that's my first point that people can take away of why they need to be in multiple social media spaces.
I like that.
It really is.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, because that encapsulates the reason. But when you humanize, what do you mean by humanizing outside of these posting? Because this is what happens. I've got a widget. It's a shovel. Whatever it might be. I got the best shovel in the world, and I'm going to post about my shovel. What do you mean by that? To me is like, okay, whatever, you got a shovel. But how do you humanize?
Let's run with your analogy. Are you ready?
I'm sitting and I'm ready.
At attention.
All right. Well, let's run with that, because my question is this: is who made that shovel?
People.
What's their story? Did someone who make that shovel, did they just beat cancer? Did someone just run a first 5K? Do they have a story? Did the company who made that shovel, did they get together and all walk together in a Susan B. Komen for breast cancer? Did they do something together as a team? Did they? What type of things make them fun and interesting? I said, I'm going to use your shovel analogy, because I worked with an industrial company out of New York. and I sat with them, and we're talking about, because they had quite a few people following their shovel on Facebook, and they said, "Well, how come every time we post, you know, something new about our shovel, we only get just a couple of likes, just a couple of people connect?" And I said, I was talking to their head of marketing. This head of marketing had to be about 127 years old. And I said to him, I said, "Because you're boring." I said, "There's only so many ways to talk about a shovel before people just shut you off." I said, "Give me control of your social media for 1 hour." And this was at the beginning of the meeting. And I posted something, that I shut my computer, and we kept our conversation going about marketing. We opened up opened up Facebook at the end of that meeting, and they had 2,900 likes to my story. And what did I post? I found out that the gentleman who worked for the controller of this industrial company happened to hold the Guinness Book of World Records for riding the tallest unicycle.
Fantastic.
It had 38 shares. It hit 2,900 people. It was the biggest post they'd had in 6 months.
Right.
And I had been there for 1 hour, and the head of marketing, who again was probably around when they would speak with Smoke. And I said to, and he said to me, he goes, "What does that have to do with a shovel?" And I looked at him and I said, "And that's why you don't get social media."
Wow.
Social media is supposed to connect with you at a heart level and find you interesting and humanizing your brand. It's not about your shovel. It's about the wood that went into that shovel. Was that wood cut in some environmentally friendly way that you want to talk about?
Yeah.
Was the handle hand carved by someone who had five generations of hand carving shovels? It's everything about and around that shovel that makes that shovel interesting. It's not the shovel itself.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is right.
That's genius.
And I'd like to just sort of thank myself for starting that conversation with the shovel analogy.
Yeah, Luke, you did nothing, Luke. Yeah, that was all Scott.
Man, I'm worn out. Get a sip of coffee, and I'm ready to get going. See, that's exactly right, because there's that thought. The thought that's out there that says, okay, now I got a LinkedIn account. Okay, now I'm going to post the shovel. And then what's fascinating to me, and I've been on this journey, let's say this podcast journey, this thing, tip of the sword type stuff, is that the information is out there. It's not as if you can't find it. And if you have a desire to say, well, I want to improve my digital media footprint, it's out there. It's just the execution, and people just it's just a big leap for a lot of these companies.
It is. It's a huge leap for them, and many of them say, "What do I even talk about? You know, what can I talk about?" You know, in my company, we have what we call the 12 buckets, the special buckets of content. That we say, okay, your shovel is one thing to talk about. You know, your industrial product, your solution, your thing, that's one area of things to talk about. You know what? You have amazing clients that work with you. Let's retell their success stories on your social media. Oh, I'm sorry. Are you also trying to grow as a company? My suggestion is take the top 10 to 15 companies that you would like to work with that should be using your widget, your shovel, and let's retell their success stories on your social media. So now you're expanding your digital footprint and saying, hello, company, we see you, we see the great things you're doing, and we're going to retell your story. Hey, who supplies you the steel for that shovel? I bet that company's doing some pretty interesting things too. Let's take one of their press releases and retell their story in your social media. So now you're talking to suppliers. Now you're talking about customers. Now you're talking about future customers. You're talking about cool things you're doing in the community. You're doing employee spotlights. There's people who are visionaries in the company. You're highlighting their thoughts. There's so many great things to talk about in social media. a good social media company will be like an investigative reporter who's working for the Chicago Tribune or the Detroit Free Press, who's digging in, finding those human interest type of stories, retelling them on your Twitter, your Instagram, your Facebook, and that is where you are humanizing your brand in an industrial world where if all you talked about was the shovel, you might as well wake up next to a used car salesman every morning who has a 1984 Corolla for sale, and all you do is talk about enough about, well, let's quote the prophet Bette Midler when she said, enough about me, what do you think about me?
Well, it's funny that you're saying that, because my old high school, actually, like, you know, of course, you know, high schools are trying to get in the social media game, and they'd share, like, you know, come check us out for the open house Saturday at 3, and it gets like one share. And then this year they started doing hashtag Faculty Friday, and they highlight a faculty member every Friday, and every Friday it gets like 40 shares, hundreds of likes, you know, like old students are sharing their teachers they liked. And it's like you said, it's just humanizing the product. The product in this case is the school, you know, and it's amazing how when you don't just focus on the business aspect, you make it like, you know, personable, people respond 100 times better. Like you said,
they do. You're 100% right. You're looking for those great stories. And it, even in your industrial world, yes, you have a product, you have a solution, but there's so many great stories around you. You have to just go find them.
So let's say I and this is a category that it is with many industrial companies. What would you recommend, like the first thing? I said, okay, I hear what you're saying there, Luke. I want to get started, but I don't want to get too started. I wanted to get started. But what would you recommend that one simple little step to take to just say, I'm on a journey here?
Then I would only pick three. I'd pick LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube. Unless, of course, a majority of the people that either buy or want to follow your product are under the age of 30, then I would add Instagram. But the reason why I picked those three is all of them are very searchable by Google. One of them happens to be owned by Google.
Yeah. Right.
And you're seeing a large percentage or a large where things are shifting right now and going live, taking broadcast live and being able to do video. And when you do video within social media, it has to be short. You know, the days of I want a company video that talks about our product, or I want a company video that shows our culture of our company. I'm telling you, it's smarter in the world of social media to have 10 videos that are 45 seconds and launch them over a year than it is to spend the money to make one video that's 3.5 to 4 minutes that you're going to use one time.
Do you think that one of the things that I've witnessed, and I can be completely wrong because I'm used to being wrong, is even the quality, there is a point of diminishing returns. So I see videos out there where somebody is just saying, hey, here's my iPhone, because I do have an iPhone because it is what I have and I'm close to Apple. Anyway, they just take a video and it's 45 seconds, but it's not that high-end quality. Do you find that there is a point of diminishing returns where people will say, it's got to be fantastic, it's got to be perfect, and then they miss the opportunity?
Actually, people's expectations have gone down considerably over the last 10 to 15 years. When I say that is, you expected 10 to 15 years ago for it to be high-end video quality types of things, and now it's almost acceptable because that's how people have watched video. That's the entire growth of YouTube. 90% of that growth was just videos shot with phones. So people accept that a lot more often. It doesn't take a lot of effort to throw that iPad, you know, on a tripod, and you don't have to have the full-on fledged video team in order to make a relatively good quality video. Does that make sense?
I know you've been
around so long that you saw Lazarus come back to life. So
I remember seeing the first a rock. It was like dirt. Exactly. And it was rock.
So I want you to think about, and the folks to think about who are listening to this podcast. Many of you remember shooting reel to reel.
Yeah.
You know, you remember shooting in the 60s and 70s with those film cameras. You still enjoy going back and looking at those, and not one time do you ever think to yourself, man, I wish I would have had a 4K camera to shoot that in 1974. You're not thinking like that. You're enjoying what's on that film now, right? Same thing happens today. So you're filming that, and there's not, all of us have a little bit of Siskel and Ebert in us, but I think for the most part, when it comes to the quality of the type of video that you're going to do, it does not need to be Spielberg quality. It just needs to be good enough. But it's more about the content of the video than it is the shooting of the video.
Now, does time enter into it? Go ahead.
If you're humanizing your brand with that video, then you're winning. If you're humanizing your brand with your content and your social media, you're winning.
That's
perfect.
I mean, and when you get right down to it, does time enter into it? Because I've done this a couple of times. It's like, okay, I got to get something out. And time is very important. And if it doesn't resonate, I can pivot but it's the time. You can compress the time pretty rapidly.
You can. I'll give you an example. Do you own more than one shirt?
Reed would say no.
Okay.
But I do.
It's the same two shirts. He's got like 20 of them.
Okay. Exactly. Well, what I suggest is if you carve out 90 minutes and you bring 5 or 6 shirts, you do one video with one shirt, change the direction of the camera, put on a different shirt, do another video, change the direction of the camera, put on a different shirt, do a different video. In 90 minutes, you could shoot between 10 and 12 45-second videos within 90 minutes and have enough content to use for the next 6 to 8 weeks in your social media. See, the old mindset is I'll shoot a video, I use that video, and then I've got to carve out time to shoot another video. I'm telling you, shoot 6 to 10 videos in 90 minutes, use them over 6 to 8 weeks, and now you've got it done.
Right.
And would you recycle those videos?
Yeah, I like to get them out there. I put them on YouTube for our clients. And remember when I went back and said, what would a third grader type in to Google in order to find your company or your service, to find your shovel that we're talking about? Mm-hmm. You know, those keywords need to be typed into the description inside of your YouTube so that the average person can find that video.
Yeah, but I remember us having a conversation, Luke, about organic versus pay to play.
Yep.
Let's expand upon that.
Pay to play is absolutely a reality. The organic world in the social media, you might as well get rid of the word organic. And you heard it here today that I said that. Now, everyone who's bought maybe a Chrysler or a Ford in the last 10 years, you got this amazing deal as you drove it off the lot that you get XM radio free for a year, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. And when you're 2 weeks away from that XM radio expiring, you start getting an email or a text from XM radio going, hey, guess what? You're 2 weeks away, and you blow off that email. Then, hey, you're a week away. Hey, you're 48 hours away, XM radio, and you blow it all off until you're driving into work in the morning. And you can't listen to Howard Stern. And you freak out. And you pull out your credit card. You pay that. You pay XM radio. And all of a sudden, now you have your XM radio for another year. Social media did the exact same thing. They said, okay, you want to build up all your fans, and you know could be a lot of industrial folks today who are listening that already have a Facebook page, and they're like, yeah, but nobody. You know, nobody likes or comments. That is I call the XM radio effect. 8 years ago, 90% of the people saw that post. So for every 100 people that you have following your Facebook page, 90 people saw that post. That was 8 years ago. 4 years ago, it was 38%. So 38 people out of every 100 saw that post. Today, it's 0.09%. So less than one person for every 100 people that follow you in social media actually see that post. So what social media has turned into is a pay-to-play.
So it just gets pushed out.
Oh, you have 2,000 people that are following you. If you want to talk to those 2,000 people, you will pay to talk to those 2,000 people. If you want to go out and get a bunch of new...
Hey, we're back with Industrial Talk. We had technical problems. That's the World Wide Web that just decided to shut down on us. But we prevailed. We just rebooted. That's about it.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything else. I just unplugged and plugged it back in, and that is the extent of my technical capability. Luke, thank you very much for providing all this information. I want to make sure that they get a parting shot. And the parting shot would be, if I'm an industrial company and I want to humanize my brand, I want to fill that funnel, I want to be able to do all of this stuff, tell me the three things, five things, whatever the things I need to know to go from there, and then how to get in contact with you.
You know, I'd love to leave with three things. So the first, in a recap, would be where your people are, which I talked about at the beginning of this podcast. So, you know, if they're using Twitter, be on Twitter. If they're using LinkedIn, be on LinkedIn. If they're using MySpace, that's your issue, not mine. But I think that if they are, you know, you need to be where they are. That is number one.
Right.
The second thing is humanizing your brand. That means mixing up your content so that you are interesting. Be the investigative reporter. Find the great stories that are not just about your product or your solution within that industrial world, but be able to look at the people side of what you're doing. Be the thought leaders in your industry and let other people know what those thought leadership pieces are. The third thing was, this is a pay-to-play world. Go into it with that expectation that this is going to cost money to find new fans, new customers, new employees. You wouldn't believe how many industrial companies out there. Tell me right now, the industrial companies, because I know you're listening right now, how many of you are struggling to find high-quality employees? Answer, everybody.
Everybody.
Raise your hand.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So let me tell you this, where is the most, if most of the people that you're hiring are under the age of 35 right now, show me that incredibly creative ad that you've launched on Instagram where 95% of your workforce is using more than 8 times a day. Tell me where that ad is right now. And if you're listening to this podcast going, we've never used social media to recruit people before, you're already behind. You need to be using it. So be serious about wanting to do it. Be serious about humanizing your brand, and then have the ability to take the energy and the effort to allow the world to see it. I was working with an industrial company, last parting shot. I was working with an industrial company, and they said, how do you measure the success of your social media like this? And I said, you have 28 trucks sitting out front that were all custom painted with your logo and your brand and your company name on those 28 trucks. I looked at the CEO and I said, how do you judge the ROI of those 28 painted trucks? And he just looked at me. He looked at me and said, touche. Nicely done. I said, because about 20,000 people might see those trucks today. With one paid digital ad, I'll have 300,000 people seeing your story and your logo for one half of what it cost for one of those trucks.
Easily.
Yep.
Easily. I was always amazed. I've been running some ads. I'm not to the extent of what you do and your clients do, but I'm always amazed at the ability to analytically see what's happening with that ad, but more importantly, the cost is like pennies on the dollar.
Yes, it is.
It's like, okay.
Yep.
Then And you can pivot, you can move around, you can do whatever you need to do with that ad. It's amazing.
Well, those of you who know how to use the Force already know how to get a hold of me.
That's right.
Exactly.
Luke. Hey, this is Luke Wyckoff. He is the Chief Visionary Officer for Social Media Energy out of Denver. He spent time with us. He sort of weathered the technical storm and me rebooting this whole thing, but he's a champion because he just sort of got back on. I called him and he got back on. We're just like as if nothing really happened. Tell me that book. One last thing. What's that book you want to recommend?
Tuesdays with Maury.
Why? Why?
Because Mitch is one of my favorite authors. It's one of those books that makes you think big picture in your life. You know, what's most important. And that's always, if I get asked that question, if you get stuck on an island and you only had to read one book the rest of your life, which one would you read? It'd probably be that one.
No, no kidding.
One of my favorite books. But then Brad Meltzer, who used to have the show Decoded on the History Channel.
Yeah.
He has over 14 best-selling books in the last 19 years. Phenomenal author and client, good friend of mine. Brad is an absolutely amazing author and one of my favorite folks that I would read.
You're just name-dropping all over the place. I know Reed, and I Reed.
You well, Reed right now is hashtag king of the 23-year-old. So
I like that. I might start using that.
You've got the king, the prince, and the jester all in one person.
Ta-da! That's right, man.
I like that hashtag. I'm going to have to use that.
Yeah. Steal it. Yeah. Hey, Luke, thank you very much. Really appreciate your time. Thank you for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. You listeners out there, you got to look this gentleman up. He's out on, you got a LinkedIn page. You got your company page out there. You've got Facebook. You're everywhere. And if you can't find Luke.
That's my fault.
I was just going to say, absolutely. Thank you again. And listeners, stand by. We're going to be right back. And thank you once again for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right, we're going to make this one quick because that was a long interview because Luke has all the information. He is an amazing man. He spent time with us and he shared with us some incredible information about digital marketing. You know, I just want you to be successful, right? And these are tools that are available to you. And you can access them, pretty much pennies on the dollars, quite frankly. But nonetheless, they're out there. Contact Luke because he knows what's doing. Thank you very much once again for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. I finished my macros if you were concerned about it because, man, I'll tell you, it takes a long time to eat those bad boys. So anyway, have a great day. Have a great week. Have a safe week, of course. And we'll be on the other side because we've got other guests that are focused on your success as an industrial professional and an industrial company. So thank you very much once again. Talk to you later.